This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca, iTunes, and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
22 British Columbians have died in the last 18 months after using the popular party drug ecstasy. The drug had in some cases been tainted with PMMA, a substance five times more toxic than ordinary ecstasy, or known as MDMA. The tragic deaths of the young people involved had led to a range of responses. Some schools are hoping to increase the drug literacy of their students using curriculum prepared by the Center for Addictions Research of BC at the University of Victoria. The Abbotsford Police produced a video called Operation X, in which mothers and friends of victims speak about the dangers of the drug. That video has been shown to thousands of students in Abbotsford. In March 2012, the class of drugs that includes MDMA was elevated by the federal government to a Schedule 1 level, giving it the same status as heroin and cocaine. British Columbia's provincial health officer, Dr. Perry Kendall, has stated that the risks of pure MDMA have been exaggerated and that dangers arise when the chemical is tainted while being prepared by the gangs who sell it. But Dr. Kendall has also said he is not advocating for pure MDMA ecstasy to be legalized and sold in stores. We're joined on the phone by British Columbia's provincial health officer, Dr. Perry Kendall.
Welcome to People First Radio, Dr. Kendall.
Oh, good afternoon.
Laurie Culbert writes at the Vancouver Sun, and this is in an article in their high-profile series, The Agony of Ecstasy. She uses these lines. Cheryl McCormick and her three girlfriends had a lot to celebrate at their slumber party. The school term had just ended, Christmas was just around the corner, and their grade 12 prom was only months away. They arrived at the sleepover with pajamas, their youthful naivete, and 14 ecstasy pills. And that was December the 19th, 2011. Dr. Kendall, tell us about the deaths related to ecstasy in British Columbia over the past 18 months.
Well, I cannot talk about any specific death, but looking back over the last few years in British Columbia, ecstasy-associated deaths have been around between 10 and 20 in any given year. And I say they are associated deaths because a minority of them are just related to ecstasy or the adulterated ecstasy overdose deaths. Many others are due to behaviors that are happening while somebody is intoxicated, so drowning, falls, or motor vehicle crashes, for example. So the cause, what tends to be the cause if you just have an ecstasy-related death tends to be people have unfortunately taken too much, or they may have a rare genetic condition which doesn't enable them to metabolize the drug normally, or they've taken drugs which have major contamination such as PMMA or methamphetamine or other substances, and that can result in hyperactivity, an increase in the body temperature to the point where it becomes lethal, very rapid heartbeat, seizures, convulsions, cardiac arrest, and death. So that tends to be what causes just what we might call just a straight ecstasy overdose death.
So in that sense, then, that there is such a thing as an MDMA overdose?
Yes, there is. And oftentimes the people who have had these serious instances, and some people just get hospitalized and recover, others do die, unfortunately, have taken two or three or four or more pills. The issue with the PMMA was possibly that because it has a longer time of onset before you start feeling the anticipated effects, and because people may have been used to taking something with not PMMA in it, but maybe a faster onset, and because you have no idea of how much drug you're actually getting when you buy a pill on the street, somebody takes a pill, they don't feel the effect come on within the normal anticipated time of 20 to 30 minutes, so they take another pill and then another pill, without knowing that they've seriously overdosed on another drug, which actually has a longer time of onset, but then has a much more potent and neurotoxic effect once you have an overdose.
Now, pure MDMA has been used in research settings, and there are suggestions that pure MDMA may be effective in treating post-traumatic stress disorder and depression. Tell us more about that.
Well, MDMA was first used, I think, clinically in the 1970s among proponents of the human potential movement. Its use has been explored in the U.S. and there's some small studies in Canada in the last few years, looking at its use, as you say, in post-traumatic stress disorder as an aid to sort of psychological counseling and supports. It's a class of drug that's called an intactogen, which means that it makes the person more open to their feelings, more open to suggestion, more willing to share experiences, etc. So if you're engaged in psychotherapy and you need your patient to be sort of open to suggestions, not blocking, not withholding, then this drug, it seems to be useful in that context.
This is CHLY.ca, CHLY 101.7 FM. You're listening to People First Radio.
22 British Columbians have died in the last 18 months after using the popular party drug ecstasy. The drug had in some cases been tainted with PMMA, a substance five times more toxic than ordinary ecstasy, or MDMA. The tragic deaths of the young people involved had led to a range of responses, from increased education to increased criminalization. British Columbia's provincial health officer, Dr. Perry Kendall, has stated that the risks of pure MDMA have been exaggerated and that dangers arise when the chemical is tainted while being prepared by the gangs who sell it. But Dr. Kendall has also said that he's not advocating for pure MDMA ecstasy to be legalized and sold in stores. We're speaking with Dr. Perry Kendall.
Dr. Kendall, the CBC spoke with you or attended a news conference with you in June 2012, and they reported the following on their website, quote, "Just like the growing chorus for marijuana legalization, Dr. Kendall believes crushing the dirty ecstasy-saturated black market and its associated violence requires an evidence-based strategy that revolves around public health." Tell us more about that approach.
Okay, that's a fairly broad subject. It would really involve looking at a range of psychoactive substances and saying, based on the effect of these substances and their intrinsic harms or their extrinsic harms, what is the best way of educating people about use or non-use or non-harmful use? And what's the best regulatory system we could put in place around it? So, for example, if you compare alcohol and ecstasy, pure MDMA, pure MDMA actually has a safer margin of tolerance, is less toxic than pure alcohol is. And if you look at deaths from alcohol and deaths that are associated with MDMA, alcohol deaths outnumber the deaths from all illicit drugs in BC by several fold. So alcohol per se is a much more dangerous drug than cannabis or pure ecstasy or a number of other substances that are out there. And yet our system of regulating alcohol is that it's once you're 19 or over, you can buy it in the stores in almost any quantity. There are limits on being intoxicated when you buy it, and there are limits on what you can do if you are intoxicated, but it's a readily accessible substance. When we had prohibition and you couldn't get pure alcohol, people manufactured alcohol in their backyards or in bathtubs, and you had lead poisoning, you had methyl alcohol poisoning, you had a whole range of contaminants in the product that people still wanted. So to some degree, criminalizing a product which is pure without managing to deal with the demand or the supply of illicit substances, tends to push it onto the black market, which is there to meet a demand. And the more you seek to prohibit pure precursors and pure production, the more likely you are to get a substance with adulterants in it of unknown quantity. So the argument would be that while we are seeking to stop a range of psychoactive substances being used, we're not terribly effective at that with the current system. And in fact, one could argue, and it has been argued, that by doing it this way, we actually increase the risk to the user, because they don't know what they're buying. They don't know what the quality of it is. They don't know who they're buying it from. And because these drugs are illicit, we have difficulty actually talking to youth, particularly in ways that would enable them to manage their risk.
What are the next steps for dealing with this problem? You know that there are educational steps being taken, concepts about drug literacy. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think all of those issues are very germane. There is a discussion ongoing around how best to manage the psychoactive substances that we currently consider to be illicit. I think the video that you were talking about on terms of the dangers of street ecstasy is very appropriate. When we clearly have dangers on the streets, it's very important to let kids know that there are dangers here. Clearly, our message should be don't take these illicit drugs because they are potentially very dangerous. I think we also have to contextualize that risk and put it into perspective. And so I think that then calls for informed sort of drug education for children, because whether we like it or not, our children are growing up in a society which does have access to a variety of psychoactive substances, illicit ones like alcohol, illicit ones like ecstasy. We need to equip them with the ability to make sensible choices, or at least less damaging, less risky choices. We also need, I think, to look at those children who are the most vulnerable of our children, and those children who are not connected to their parents or their families or their communities, who may have learning disabilities and problems socializing. If we can identify those children, it's been demonstrated, amply demonstrated, that we can actually give them resources and skills so that they don't become the vulnerable kids.
Dr. Perry Kendall, thank you very much for taking the time to join us.
Thank you.
Dr. Perry Kendall is the senior health officer for the province of British Columbia. His responsibilities include advising the Minister of Health on health issues in BC, monitoring the health of the people of the province, and providing information and analyses on health issues.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.